Well, if you are new here, I have to say it this way. We are a Foursquare church. There's a lot in that. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in order and structure. We believe in good theology. All right? And one of those things that tends to polarize people is that we also believe in women in ministry. When you say Pastor Chris, I hope you also say Pastor Christy, right? When you see our licensed ministers, I pray that you recognize that they did a lot of work to get there, and all that is capable or possible for you too. So if that's something that God is moving your heart on, please come talk to me. But this morning, we are going to ask one of our licensed ministers, Jody Shiflett, to speak today. Yes, please give her a round of applause, Jody. And she is going to probably have a whole bunch of stuff for us, but we are in our Prayers of the Saints series, and I asked her the other week, I said, hey, the Lord said that you might have a thing or two to say about intercession, and almost instantaneously she said, yeah, I can totally do that. So she gave me a date, and it was right after it. So I believe that God is in this, so I am so excited to hear this word. I pray that if you have an issue with that, I hope that you'll just allow the Lord to speak to you and then realize that the women of the body of Christ have a lot to say too, not just us guys. Amen. If I missed it, I think they might have had a slide. Kiddos are going back there with Christy, so please make your way back there if you're not already. All right, Jody, can we pray for Jody? Would you just extend your hands out? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for her heart. I thank you for the way that you moved on both of us and said, she's got a word. I thank you that we serve in a church that says everybody contributes. No spectators. So Lord, I pray that your anointing would fall on here. I already feel it, but Lord, we're just asking you to meet us here more, fuller measure. Running over, Lord, is what we want. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive all that you have for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
And running over, does that mean that I can run over time too?
Yes.
No. I'm teasing. As Chris was saying that, if you have a problem with women in ministry, take it up with God. He's good with that. And I don't mean like take it up with God and suck you or whatever. I don't mean it like that. I mean, he's okay if you wrestle with him with that decision. He's okay with that. He's not offended by it. He's not hurt by it. I'm not hurt by it. If that's where you are in your journey with God, in that journey with God, search that out. Wrestle with him. Amen. And see what he has to say about it. He may change your mind. Amen. He may not. I'm okay with that. I think he's okay with it too. Are you okay with it? Today we're going to talk about intercession. And in this, I was like, whew, as soon as he said it, immediately God said yes. And I was like, I'm in. And then I thought, oh, you can't really teach somebody how to pray. It doesn't really work that way, God. Now, how? He goes, no, but you can teach them the mind to have when they approach me in prayer that will teach them to interact with me, and I can teach them to pray. I was like, now that works. So we're going to do that today. So I hope you understand, this is not going to be 5 points. It's going to be a very unique sermon. There are going to be some points in this, but it's not going to be like follow steps 1 through 10 and you'll be a good prayer warrior. It doesn't work that way. But I will teach you some concepts and some things and share some of my story that will help you understand what prayer is about. And then as you journey and wrestle with God, you will become a fierce prayer warrior.
Amen.
Hopefully by the end of this, you will be convinced 100% that you are complete, whole, and you have everything you need to be that prayer warrior right this minute. Not when I'm done, right now. I don't have to teach you anything because you came in as a believer and you've accepted Christ in your heart. Hopefully if you haven't, then by the end of the sermon, you will, because that's the goal. Amen. Is for you to connect with Jesus, to connect with the Trinity on a new level that you've never connected before. And out of that, you will be a fierce prayer warrior. Amen. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. A lot of you know me, but a lot of you don't. There's a lot of new faces in here. I don't even know. But my name is Jody. I'm a pastor's kid. I started going to church 9 months before I was born. That's how it works. I literally do not know life before Jesus. And part of that is a huge blessing. There's a huge burden that comes with that too, because as a child growing up, I knew what my parents believed, and I knew God in a way that most people, even seasoned Christians, probably didn't know, because I didn't know life without him. But there was something missing where I was like, I almost wish I had that conversion experience that most people have, where at 20 or 18 or 15 or whatever the age be, that they're like, oh, that's God? Because I was so familiar with him that he was foreign to me, if that makes any sense. And I just had to wrestle with, what does that mean? And who am I as a believer? How do I wrap my head around that? Here's an example. I learned to speak in tongues when I was 5 by repeating what my dad would say from the platform. Now, at 5, in my heart of hearts, I was speaking in tongues. And in God's heart of hearts, I was too. Because I was with all sincerity and innocence saying, I want to know what you're saying to the Holy Spirit so that I can participate in that. And as I learned to participate, eventually at 13, he was like, okay, you've done that long enough. Let's get on a personal level with you and let's teach you what I want you to speak. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So, you know, as you journey. But when I got into my 20s, I really started to wrestle with God. Is this relationship I have with you just you and something that my parents have taught me, or is this something that is me and who I am? I remember being in the movie theater watching the Titanic, of all things. I'm in the movie theater with a friend, and as we're watching, the ship is breaking in half and everything, and she doesn't deal well with tragic. So she's laughing. I mean, like literally laughing out loud, like, she's trying to stop, but she can't control it. She finally gets up and walks out of the theater. I'm just like, this has been the most miserable ending to a movie I've ever been to. So I got up the next morning and went to the movie to watch it all over again by myself. Because I was like, okay, I'm watching a tragic story here, and here she is laughing out loud, and people are staring at us. I was like, oh my gosh, I want out of here so bad. So the next day, I went to the movie theater, and I'm watching the movie, and at the end of the movie, one of the very last scenes is Rose on the boat being rescued, and the steward comes up to her, and he says, who are you? And without hesitation, she says, Rose Dawson. I cried today. I just started bawling. And I'm like, oh, why am I crying? This is like the happy ending of this tragic story for her. And I realized I'm Rose. And I had been living a life where I was ready to jump off the edge of that boat any minute. And God said, you jump, I jump. I said, wow. You jump, I jump? That's amazing. And that's where my journey truly started. And I was like, I'm willing to go head to toe with you, God. I'm willing to wrestle every day of my life to get to know you more, to engage with you on a different level, so much so that I wanted a daily reminder. So if you ever email me, it's Dawson1031, because I am Jody Dawson. God saved me in that manner. Jack to her in the story was what brought her to who she truly was. And God in my story was who brought me to who I truly was, no matter the beginning or what the end of the story was going to be. Right there in that moment, he met me. And it was just a powerful, powerful moment. So that's a little bit about me. I'm a pastor's kid. When I was 35, my parents became missionaries to China. They did that for 16 years and have just recently retired and on a new journey of life. Most of you probably don't know this, but when I was born, my grandparents were the pastors of this church. That was crazy to think. They were the pastors of this church. When I was 12 and 13, my parents were the worship pastors at this church. So I have long history and lots of great respect for the people that have come, the different names that have come and gone, and all that God is doing in this place. One of my favorite songs is Miranda Lambert's song, "The House That Built Me." When she sings of, it's a song about her going to her childhood home and asking if she can come in and reconnect with her childhood so that she can be safe in the place that she's currently at. And I remember being at the stoplight and thinking, the house that built me is the church. When I think of this church, Meridian was the name of the church at the time, or Lighthouse, the church that my mom and dad pastored, I think, this is the house that built me. It's the foundation on which I stand on, and I'm very blessed to be a part of you guys, and you guys are all a part of that foundation, and it's a blessing to be with you. So today's objective, as I told you before, is to talk about intercession, but it's to teach you how to think, not to teach you what to think. It's not to come in and give you, like I said, a steps 1 through 10, and you walk away. It's give you some concepts, and then we're going to build on those concepts, and then you're going to walk away and wrestle it out with God. Okay? So I want to talk about responding to something versus reacting to something. Okay? I was reading in today, says, reaction is instant. It's driven by the beliefs, biases, and prejudice of the unconscious mind. Without thinking, whew, I don't want to do that. You say something without thinking, that's the unconscious mind running the show. A reaction is based in the moment and doesn't take into consideration long-term effects or what you do or say. A reaction is survival-oriented and on some level a defense mechanism. Might turn out okay, but often a reaction is something you regret later. Now, when you approach prayer, I want to approach it with not a reactive, because some of us may walk in here this morning and have issues. I walked in this morning, this week I was told they're going to remove my gallbladder. Not fun. And there's lots of things that go with that and maybe side effects that we'll go with later on in life if that's what we choose to do. I could have come in today with a reactive moment with God, said, well, here we go again, and then we could just go on this journey, and this is what I want to see out of you, God, or whatever. Or I can come in, and God and I can respond together with my gallbladder. Respond. And I'm hopefully that's how I'm going to handle it. We'll see. It's yet to be seen. A response, on the other hand, is usually comes more slowly. It's based on information from both the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. So it's not just the lens of, this is what I've been taught my whole life, this is how I see the world, this is how I do everything, and I'm going to look at that lens, and I'm going to talk about my gallbladder through that lens. No, this is, I'm going to have a moment where I use part of my unconscious mind, because it's, I think, impossible not to, but I'm going to use my conscious mind to say, okay, God, what are you and I going to do about my gallbladder? And then out of that conscious response, take a deep breath and then move forward in what he says we're going to do about my gallbladder. Amen. And then that's an answer to prayer. Amen. I want to put it to you this way. How many of you have been to a corner of a street where you see a panhandler? We've all been there, right? You get to the corner. Unconsciously, if you're reacting and you're using your unconscious mind, you put up things like, that person should get a job. Oh, that person shouldn't do this. Oh, that person shouldn't, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it goes on and on. I'm a pastor's kid. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come into the church, spin a little story for my dad. My dad followed the story to the end of the rope, and all they wanted was weed money, or all they wanted was a beer, or all they wanted was this. And sometimes the stories got so extravagant that we would take them to lunch and then drop them off at a hotel. I mean, crazy amounts. And then they would go back into the hotel person and say, can I have that money so I can go somewhere else? All they wanted was the money in the end. And so I can look at that panhandler through that lens and say, I will never give to a panhandler ever. I can also go to the corner in a reactive response and say, oh my gosh, that poor man, he needs money. He has a dog and he probably is just hard on his luck, and I need to give him money. that's no better. What needs to happen is I need to stop and in a conscious moment say, God, is this my moment? If it is, I'm available. If it's not, then push me on and I'm on my way. And even on my way, it's a moment to reach out and say, God, this isn't my moment, but be his moment for him. Because he doesn't need money. He needs God. And somewhere along the way, he might get money, because that's part of life and you need that. But his real answer is you. Show up today in his life in a way that's personal and intimate to him and change his life. And I want to be in that process all the time. So I'm going to ask you today, even as we're doing this, as I'm speaking, that you would be in a responsive heart. Because some of the things I say might be like, I don't know if I agree with that. That's okay. Like I said before, if you don't agree, that's great. Wrestle it out with God. It's possible that I'm wrong. Oh, dear Lord, help us. I hope not. I hope I'm not up here spinning a whole bunch of nonsense, because that's not my goal. But I do know that it's possible. I'm human. And that there's room in God for all of that to happen and us to be okay in the end. So wrestle everything I say out with God, because I'm not the authoritative end. I'm just, here's some information, now work it out with God. All right. Now that we got that down, let's talk about what intercession is. Chris has been talking about prayer for a few weeks now, and Chris has said, in its basic form, what is prayer? Talking to God. It's just a conversation with God. Okay? Intercession is conversation with God on behalf of someone else. Okay? So it's just a conversation with God as well. Although I want to expound on that just a little bit, because I want to make you think maybe a little broader. It's a conversation with three beings, not one. Okay? It's a conversation with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And as much as they are one, and when you're having a conversation with God, you're having a conversation with all of them, even if you don't realize it. They are three unique individuals who have three unique responsibilities in their oneness. And when you connect with all three of them, it's a different conversation. It's like having a conversation with Chris about what we're going to do about a project we're doing at church, let's say. Or if I have a conversation with Chris and three other people. It's a very different conversation. It's a broadening of a scope. Lots more information is shared and lots more is happening in that. So when we talk about intercession, I want you to think in that mode. I am praying on behalf of somebody else with the Trinity. With every power of all powers, above all powers, above all kings, principalities, above everything, I am talking to the authority. And it's not a one-way conversation. It's not, hi, Miss Jody, here's my request. Let me know when you're done. I wish it was sometimes, because sometimes I've carried this burden longer than I should have. I should have given it immediately, but I was like, I got this one. And then I'm taking it to God and saying, here, fix it. I'm so burnt out right now. I can't even deal with you. And that's real. But God wants to have an interactive relationship with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants sometimes for us to come to him and say, here's our request. Sometimes he wants to come and say, here's our request. He has requests for you. There are people in this room that need you. There are people in this world that you don't even know yet that need you. And he wants you to be listening to him to give you those cues so that you can be a participating part of that. So when we first come to Christ and we learn to pray, it really is simple in that we make requests to God and then we hope that he's listening and that he answers them. And at first that's very innocent and very much so. I was talking to Christina this morning and I said, how do you teach somebody to pray? And she said that a pastor told her one time, and I thought this was great. She was like, it's like going to your dad and saying, I want some candy. It's that simple. It's not, oh, Daddy dear, humble servant you, Daddy. Can you please pour out the harp? Give me some candy. Oh, that's only if I want, if you're okay with it. If you don't want me to have candy, I get it. I'll take that answer too. No, it's, hey, Dad, can I have some candy? Yeah. And can I have it now sometimes? Yeah. I mean, it's not really about a formality or some kind of steps to do it. It's about being raw, honest, and real. And sometimes it's as simple as I need, and sometimes it's as simple or as hard as, you know, let's wrestle this out because I don't know what I need. I may think this is what I need, and he's like, if you want to get to the root of it, let's really talk about it. And he wants to interact back and forth with that. And that's a process that you learn as you engage with him. When I first met Chris, which hasn't been that long ago, our conversations were pretty brief because that's how it is when you first meet somebody. You don't have a lot to, but the more I know Chris, the longer our conversations will get. And then it might be where we get together and we sit and we have deep discussions about something. And that's good. It's growing and maturing. And God is the same way with us. We, at first, it may be just, I need candy. And then later he's like, let me show you how this works. And let me show you how this works. And then you won't need candy anymore. And you can move on from that. I want you to get out of the system mentality with prayer. There is no system here. System is static. And by static, I mean it's just a system. It's just, I'm going to go in, do this, this, and this, and I'm going to get this outcome. You might be really shocked. You might do this, this, and this, and get this outcome. And this outcome may not be what you expected. But I can promise you, if you search it out with God, the outcome you get will always be what you need. It may not be what you wanted, but it will be what you need. In college, they used to say, it's not what you want, it's what you need. Get what you need, you get what you want. And that's how it works. It's not always easy to to do that. So today, instead of talking about steps 1 through 3, I want to talk about your identity and your experience with God. Because those, if we define what those look like, then as you know who you are and as you experience God, then you can pray and pray on a whole new level, okay? So God is an experiential God, okay? I want you to think about that. He's not flat, static. He's dynamic, okay? So it's kind of like, I want you to think of dissecting a frog, okay? We're going to see, I was hoping Robin would be here so she could tell me how this works, but she's not, but she can correct me later. So you cut open a frog. I remember being in school and you cut open its stomach, you know what it's eaten, you look at all its veins and its legs and everything, and that's information that you're putting into you, and out of that you learn a lot about a frog, right? But I want you to think a little differently as we process through this. This is a frog. We're not going to cut him open. We're going to think about where he lives, what his lifestyle's like, what his parents might be like, what was he like as a kid, how is he growing and maturing, and all the different dynamics of a frog. I mean, he has a really cool life, and how cool is this life that this frog lives? And oh my goodness, if we take those legs off and we bread them and we fry them, are they going to taste good? Right? That's a whole different experience than if we just cut him open and we write down a bunch of data about a frog. Okay? So today, let's dive in and figure that out. Okay? So we're going to go, if you'll pull up that first slide for me, we're going to talk about who we are in Christ. We're going to understand our design at its infancy, okay? And Chris talked about this a little bit, but I want to expound on it. It says, in Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, okay? If you held up a mirror, you are mirroring the image of Jesus, hopefully. Sometimes we don't, but that's the goal. But you're also in his likeness, which means your very nature is like God. Okay? So God, as we talked about, is not only God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he's also one God. As Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now that's confusing, and especially if you don't know a lot of theology and a lot of Bible, it can be confusing to see that God is one or is God three. And let me explain. We have a family friend that lives in Eugene, Oregon, and when she was a kid, she had some traumatic things happen, and then when she was in the eighth grade, somebody picked up a basketball and hit her in the head with it. And when they hit her in the head with it, she had a brain injury that happened, and it split part of her cortex. And because of it, she became schizophrenic and had a multiple personality disorder. She had 11 personalities at one time. Okay? So when she first found out about God and how God could help her heal, the lady that was talking to her said, "You need to read the Bible and talk to God. That's the most important thing I can teach you, is read the Bible, talk to God." So she started in the beginning of the book, because that's what you do when you don't know the book is in chapters and verses and you can move all over the place and still make sense out of it. So she started at the beginning. When she got to verse 26, she was very excited. "You're multiple like I am." And he was like, she said, immediately he answered her, "Yes, I am." She was like, "Wow, how many are you?" And he said, "I'm three." And he goes, "How many are you?" She said, 11. I need you to know, he didn't need to know she was 11. She needed to know he knew she was 11. Okay? So when you're interacting with God, he's not getting foreign information from you that you've never heard, or he's never heard. He's having a conversation with you because you need to hear it as much as you need to say it. Okay? So she gets excited. So she's like, "That's cool. God's a multiple, so there's possibility for me to be healthy and whole." Okay, so she starts reading and she gets to Deuteronomy 6:4 and he says, "I am one." She goes, "I am so confused. How can you be one and be a multiple? I can't be one and be a multiple. How does that work?" And he says, "This is how it works. I'm the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And she was like, "What?" And he goes, "We are that we are." She goes, "I'm so confused. You're going to have to be more specific." He goes, "This is the best way to explain it." And this is what she explained to me. And I was like, he's like, "I am the initiation, the agreement, and the fulfillment of all things." So God being the initiator of all things, he's the creator of everything. Jesus being the shed blood of Jesus is the agreement to all the things that God wants to create. Okay, and then the Holy Spirit is a gift that God gave us when Jesus left that is the fulfillment of all of that in one. Okay, now God is God. So he has the ability to be the agreement and he has the ability to be the fulfillment, but he doesn't. Because in humble submission to both the Son and the Holy Spirit, he relinquishes that to them and he just does his part. Jesus, being the shed blood that he is and the agreement to the fulfillment of all things, can be the creator and he can be the fulfillment, but he doesn't. In humble submission to both the Father and the Holy Spirit, he relinquishes that and he just does his part. The Holy Spirit can also, just like the other two, do all of that because they are God. Yeah. But yet, he still, in humble submission, relinquishes and says, "I only do my part so that you can fulfill your part so that we can be one." Amen. And in that oneness, you can be made whole. That's the relationship you're having. Now, we're reading in this, and it says, "You are made in his image and in his likeness." So your nature is the same. Okay? You're the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You, got my slides out of order, it looks like. We'll just go with how they're in here. See, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So God is in us. God is one, God is a relationship. Okay, so now let's think about that. You are the mirror image of him in very nature like him. So you are in us. You are one. You are a relationship. You weren't meant in any way, in any form, in any part of your day not to be in relationship. Okay? You have the body, the soul, and the spirit. If any one of those are not in submission to the other, what does that make you? Very unhealthy.
Yeah.
It makes you be the person in the room that everybody's like, ooh, okay, I'm going to go over here now. How you doing? Because when you're out of function with those things, then you are out of alignment and you are not fun to be around. Okay? Now let's soul as part of that. Just one of them is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Okay? Some of you are already in here. Why are we talking about how we're designed? I'm going to have you two come up here. I told them I was going to do this to them earlier. They're like, oh, really? You're kidding me, right? All right. Daughtry, come over here. Eli, over here. All right. So I'm going to have you come out here, and I want you to take his arm, because I know you just love to do this. I want you to put it over his head as far as you can and break it in half.
What?
Okay. Wait a minute. Why don't you want him to do that?
Does it hurt?
Because it's not designed to do that, is it? No. It's not. And so it's very important that we're doing this design part. Now, I'm going to tell you, in your will, or your intellect, your emotions, and your will, you just proved that they're working. I asked you a question, and your intellect took it in and said, okay, she said something to me. Your emotions were like, oh, I don't want to do this, but okay, if you make me. And then your will got up and came up front, right? All right, everybody give him a hand. Thanks for coming up and letting me torture you for a minute. I told you I wouldn't embarrass you too much. But a great response, Daughtry. He was like, wait a minute, I don't like that. Because that's not how it was designed. So let's make sure we know how we're designed and how we should interact so that we can further go with this. Okay? We were created to be in a relationship. And that also is a Trinity effect, is that there's God, us, and others. You were never meant to be alone. Now, that doesn't mean all of you introverts in here, that doesn't mean you can't take space to yourself. But even in space to yourself, you're never alone. And at any moment, God wants to interact and tell you all kinds of wonderful, cool things that will not only just impact you and your life, but will impact every single person around you if you let it. Okay? Now, some people in this room are saying, I thought we were going to talk about prayer. We are. We're already talking about prayer. Because that's all prayer is an interaction with the Trinity. Whether that be God, you, and man, or I should put at the top of this, it's really not God, it's Trinity. Trinity, man, and others. Or if that's you and the Trinity, singular, like just the two of you, the two of you are together since you are one, and how that works. So it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, back to Genesis 1:26. And the second part of that says, so that they will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, over the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. If you read Genesis 1 from the beginning to end, this is God handing you the world. Did you know the world belongs to you? Now, not very long after this, Eve gave it back, didn't give it back to God. She gave it to Satan, and we lost it. But I want you to know that if you've accepted Christ, that it has been given back to you. And literally, the entire world belongs to you. You have rule, authority, power, control. You are in charge once you've accepted Christ. How many of you want to turn to your spouse and go, yeah, I heard you're in charge, right? No. You guys are in charge. We, as a body of believers, are in charge of the universe. We have rule and power and authority. It says, this is where we get this scripture. It says in Romans 5:17, it is true that through the sin of one man, so when Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? How much more powerful is the shed blood of Jesus than that one little sin that gave it all away? So he went and got the keys and brought it back, and he has handed the world back to us to abide in, to thrive in, and to multiply in. Just like it says in Genesis. It says, all who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life. Amen. How many of you want to rule in life? Yes. You have been given that. That is yours. It starts right this second if you haven't already. Now, I want to talk about more about who we are a little bit. And I want you guys to be very interactive in this part, if you would. What are some things, some promises that you know are truly yours? Scripture says a whole bunch of, who are you? Chosen, child of God, joint heirs. Those are good ones. Any others? Huh? Healed, whole. The scripture says we are complete, whole, body, soul, and spirit, the moment we accept Christ. How about Ephesians? Ephesians says, all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding belong to me. Amen. I'm never in a situation that I don't have all the tools I need to do life. Wow. How cool is that? How cool is that? I literally am never in a situation in life where I do not have all the tools I need. 2 Peter says, I have all the power to live life in godliness because of him who called me by his own glory and goodness. That's a fact.
New creature.
Brand new. And let me tell you, I struggle a little with the word transformational, although I understand it. I think it's more transitional because it's already yours. You're not changing so that you can get it. You're just learning how to use it. Amen. This phone I've had for probably about 4 years now. It's time to upgrade. It's a 12, so it's a little older. Newer than some of the ones I've seen in the room today, but somewhere in the middle. It's not a flip phone, but I have been listening to things on Instagram where people are like, oh, did you know your phone will do this? I'm like, I've had this for 5 years and I'm just now learning that. I learned just the other day that I can program my phone to say next and it'll turn to the next slide in my reels and I don't have to use my finger. I didn't know that was possible. I can wash the dishes and not have to do this with my wet finger when I want to go to the next slide. I didn't know I could do that. That doesn't mean that I didn't have the ability to do that. Just means I didn't know I had the ability. Okay? So, how many of you have accepted Christ in here? Amen. As Savior? Yes. You have the power, every bit of it. Yes, you may not know how to use it yet, so you'll have to wrestle with God to transition into the knowledge of that, but it's already yours. I got so excited about that point, I lost my place. But it's true. It's very powerful. I want to talk about the second commandment for a minute. And I probably have gotten a little off there, Christine. I'm sorry if I made you chase a few slides here and there. Forgive me now. But if we could go to Exodus 20. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the name in vain. What does it mean to take in vain? No meaning. That's good. It means you render it powerless. So, we've talked about a lot of things that you have access today and a lot of things that you are. But if you're in this room today and at any time you have said, oh, that's not for me because I haven't, or, oh, I don't know if God will do that for me, you have taken his name in vain. I know when we say take his name in vain, most people think people are using God's name and the Hoover Dam in the same sentence, or they're yelling Jesus Christ because they're upset at something. And that is true. You shouldn't just say his name for name's sake, because it loses all its power as soon as it utters out of your mouth.
That's right.
But it also loses power if you say, in this moment, it's not for me. Then why are you a child of God? And I hate to be that blunt, it almost sounds harsh, but why are you a child of God if you don't believe you have the power today to change the world at its very core? And not just in this room, not just in your circle, you can be here and you can change the world in Africa if you want. You can be in this room and you can call down heaven. And if you don't believe that, then put his name back and move on. Or come talk to me and let's wrestle that out with God. Because I don't want to live a life, and I don't want you to be in a life where you feel like you're living a life that isn't extremely powerful. The earth and everything in it belongs to you.
Amen.
You are ruler of it. You are in control. And you have the power to do enormous things. The vain part gets me excited, because when you live in that power and in that knowing, life can be different. So let me give you some examples. Intercessory prayer. As we talk here, I have been for the last 7 years meeting once a week with a group of people. Now it's just two of us that meet, that actually meet face-to-face. Because of COVID and all that, we meet virtually a lot of times. And we pray. And when we get together, let me preface this first. This is not tooting Jody's horn. This is tooting God's horn. This is really about what God does when I show up in a room. The fact that I'm in there is only because I'm his child and I have that authority to be there, not because I have in the ultimate authority that made it happen. I just participated. Okay? So I want you to know that, because I'm going to toot a whole bunch of horn here, and I need you to know that. So for the last 7 years, we've been getting together. One of the very first times we got together, my aunt, we would get together at first in between worship practice and Sunday service. There was an hour, and we would get together in that hour and in the sanctuary have prayer. And one morning she came in, and she felt like before she got there that God had asked her to ask us to pray for a certain city. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. And he was like, well, why not? She was like, because I don't feel like I should go in and force them to pray for a certain city. Let's just go in and say, let's pray for a city. And he was like, okay, you go right ahead. So she comes into the room and she goes, I really felt like God laid cities on my heart today. And we're going to pray for cities. So if you would, just as you're in the room, pray for a city. She wouldn't give us a specific city. And I was like, okay. So we sit down. At the end, she goes, before you come, why don't you write your city down on a piece of paper? I was like, okay. There's like 10 of us in the room. All 10 of us sat down, and we all had Chicago written on a piece of paper. And she was like, ah, oh, I should have just told you to pray for Chicago. That's intercession, okay? And when you're having an interactive relationship with the Trinity, that happens. Now, let me tell you, we've been meeting for 7 years, at least once a week, sometimes multiple times a week, depending on what's going on in life and whatnot, and the stuff with Ukraine and just all kinds of different stuff. I can't say that Chicago happens every week, but it happens a whole lot. It happens so much that my mom wants to write a book called Around the World in One Room, where she just wants to collect our stories and write a book because things happen. One morning, one of the guys that comes, his name is Kevin. Kevin comes into the room and he goes, I don't know why, but all the way here, God just kept telling me Todd. I'm like, okay. He goes, do you know anybody named Todd? And I said, the only person I know named Todd is my cousin, but he's like 15 years younger than I am, and I can't say that I've seen him since he was 3 or 4. And I said, but that's the only Todd I know. And immediately he goes, that's it. Let's pray for Todd. So we start praying for Todd, and he's like, Todd has cancer. And I was like, okay, sure. I don't know. I haven't seen Todd since he was 3. I don't have any idea. He's 20 or 30 now, I guess. I said, sure. So we just start praying. And after we left prayer, I called my mom and I said, hey, do you know what's up with Todd? And she goes, you should talk to your dad. So I called my dad and I said, what's up with Todd? And he said, Todd has bladder cancer, I think it was. And they thought he was going to die. And I was like, wow. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, call or message Todd, I don't even have Todd's phone number, on Facebook and say to him, this means going to friend somebody that I really don't know and send him a message that I don't really know is going to be how it's going to land, but I just sent him a message, and this is what I said. I said, hey, Todd, just wanted you to know that a group of people in Oklahoma this morning got a message from God that you needed prayer. We're praying for you. And he sent me a message back a couple days later, and he said, I found out I had bladder cancer. The day you prayed, I went to have my second scan, and they couldn't find it. Amen. Right? How cool is that? But that is an everyday experience when you're doing this. Let's pray. In prayer this morning even, let's get in. All of you guys were interceding today, if you don't know it. You got in a group together and we interceded together. And when somebody says, hey, I need prayer for my back, it's hurt. Okay? All it takes is a pause. Do you know why I'm pausing? Because I don't want to pray for your back. I want God to pray for your back. Because what if the reason your back is hurt is because you have funny shoes on that aren't in the right position, or maybe you broke your toe and you don't know it. There's all kinds of reasons your back could hurt. I don't know why your back hurts. So let's pray for the root of what's happening, not your back. And it may be I pray for your back, but I pause and I'm like, God, what do you want to do in this situation? And I'm just doing it in my mind. And I'm leaving my mind empty of me, my filter, all my reactive nonsense that I can bring. Because, I mean, come on, we can all bring it in. Racial stuff, we can bring in all kinds of, well, you wouldn't be in this position if you do some weight. You know, we can bring it all in. Or we can stop and pause and say, God, I'm going to clear my mind of my reactive nonsense. How do you want to respond to this person today? Because your response to this person is really the answer they need. And how am I going to do that? I remember a couple years ago, I had gone through a really bad situation where I was falsely accused of being racial at work. They fired me. It's a whole bunch of stuff. I'd worked there 7 years, and the next day I was gone. And it was a total lie. It wasn't true at all. But they took her side, and it just off it went, and I just was gone. And I was like, I was building my way to management, to own my own store and to do this and to do that. And then all of a sudden, shoop, you're gone. And I went through some serious, real struggle. I had some serious depression moments that I had to deal with. And I was like, God, I don't know what to do, but I feel like I need to sit down and talk to somebody, not because I need to wallow in this or to even get information about how to fix it. I just need to say it out loud so it doesn't have power anymore. So I sat down with a friend of mine, a family friend that I hadn't seen in a long time. I said, would you mind if I came over and we talked about this? Because I'm dealing with this and I need to say it out loud. She's a pastor's wife. And I went into the room, and we talked about it for a second. She goes, let's pray. And the room got silent. It was silent for a minute and a half, probably. I bawled the whole time. And she goes, why are you crying? We haven't even started praying yet. And I said, you started praying the moment you closed your eyes and just started listening. That's all I needed. And I really, truly only needed to be in the room, because when I was in that room with God and her saying, I'm struggling. I may need to be on meds. I may need to, you know, what are my options? What do I do? Because I am struggling. I don't know what to do. I've put on 20 pounds because of this problem. We got to deal with it. As soon as I said it, it no longer had power over me. As soon as I said it, God and I could deal with it. We could start wrestling. And I was not only wrestling it with him, but her. And she was like, yes, you know, let's talk about meds. Is that something you need to do? Because let's be real, it might be. And if it is, then let's take that journey with God and see how that works. If it's not, then let's take that journey and see how it works. But let's journey that together. Just her having that small conversation was interceding on my behalf. That's a real thing. When somebody sits down with you and says, I'm struggling with something, it's not a struggle. You know what it is? It's an opportunity. Heaven is an opportunity magnet. You will never hear stories of angels in heaven going, oh my gosh, there's problems down there. I can't believe how bad it is. Right? Would you imagine that? No. They're like, oh my gosh, look at the opportunity we got. Oh my gosh, we can intercede and we can do something and something cool's going to happen because God's going to get involved. Right? We should have that same attitude. If Tina calls me today and she says, I got an opportunity, I should get excited. Even if she calls and says it's a problem, I should know. This is an opportunity for me to alter the existence of the universe. I'm going to participate and God's going to do something and Tina's going to be different. Amen. Right? Amen. And then I should at the end say, hey, I can't wait to have an opportunity for you to call and me to tell you about. And let's come on, let's change the world together. Yes. That's how that should work. Yes. It should be just as exciting as her calling me up and say, hey, let's go get coffee. Oh, hey, let's dissect this problem together and let's change the world. That's how that works. Now, another story that's happened recently happened in this building. I was in here one night with Kevin, and we're praying. Literally, what we do most of the time, not all the time, sometimes it's over the phone, sometimes it's over Zoom. It can be a million different things. Sometimes it's literally a text message that's like 50 million texts long when it's all done. And all it is people praying. It's not me getting my mind around the earthly position we're in. It's about me speaking what God wants to speak into the situation. And me and five other people are texting back and forth about what God's doing. But we were in this room, and he says, he has this thing with names, apparently. He's like, I keep hearing the name Rachel. Do you know anybody named Rachel Hernandez? And immediately I was like, we know somebody named Rachel Hernandez. And he was like, nope, that's not it. And I was like, I don't think so. He goes, well, let's just pray. So we started praying. And all we do, literally, is stop, pause. And whatever the Holy Spirit runs across my brain, I say it out loud. Amen. It might be kind of strange sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense to me. But because I took his name and I didn't take it in vain, I'm willing to risk. That's hard. But I am willing to risk because I did not take his name in vain. So I risk, and I just blurt out, rainbows and unicorns and floppy poop. I don't know. I mean, it's not like that. But you know what I mean? It kind of feels like that's how vulnerable you're being, right? Yeah. That you're saying something. But as you say it, he says something, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like finishing my sentence, although I didn't know you were going to say it. Yeah. And I didn't even get a chance to finish the sentence. I would have had you just been quiet. But it's how it works. And he's like, well, that's it. I don't know a Rachel Hernandez. And then we go on praying about something else. Later, across the room, he's over here, across the room, I'm back there praying. And all of a sudden he goes, it's not Rachel, it's Raquel. And I'm like, okay. Doesn't change my prayer any. Random. That it's Raquel. I don't know a I definitely don't know a Raquel. And so we just go on. 4 or 5 days pass, and I get a text message from him. He said, "You will not believe what somebody sent me today." Somebody had texted him a message that Raquel Hernandez needed this prayer, and it was exactly word for word almost what we said. Wow. I was like, how does that happen?
Amen.
How does that happen? It happens with a willing heart to obey.
Yeah.
I want you to think about something, because I get all the time from people, "Well, I'm not in the right spot for that. Maybe I'm just not in the right place." I'm like, what are you waiting on? Okay, what do you mean you're not in the right place? And they're just like, "Well, you know, I haven't gotten to a right place in God yet, or I may not be in my Christian walk where he wants me to be," or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's such nonsense. Why does the enemy lie to you? Why are you hunkered down in shame when he wants you to be completely free? And it just, sometimes I have to really watch it, because I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the enemy playing the trick on you that you're believing. And I'm like, oh, I want to strangle you because you believe in his lie, and his lie is evil.
Yeah.
And it may be, oh, it just makes me so mad. But I want you to think of it this way. In order to get God's love or get his attention or to hear the Trinity at whole, you don't have to do anything. If you were a man and you were going on a, wanted to go on a date, let's say, or boy, let's say one of these young men here wanted to go on a date, they wouldn't go to a restaurant, buy food, buy flowers, buy a nice, pretty gift of some kind, and wait in the mall and go, "Oh, who wants to go on a date?" That would be weird. In fact, every girl in the room would be like, "No, thank you," right? Now, once you meet a girl and you go out on a date with her, are you going to do those things? Hopefully. Because you want to. It's a gift to her. Or maybe she wants to do something because it's a gift to him. But they don't do it to get the date. They do it out of a mutual agreement and love and respect through the relationship. That's how God is. He's not expecting you to come with the date stuff already. He's not. That's not how you earn him. You just say you want him and you get him. It's an amazing concept. And in getting him, you get everything you need, body, soul, and spirit, complete, whole, nothing lacking, nothing missing. And all you have to do is be willing to intercede on your behalf to get the information you need to unlock those things, just like I did in my iPhone. That's all you got to do. It's an interactive relationship with God that's experiential, that says, "God, where do you live? Do you have a mom? Do you have a dad?" Ask him questions, bizarre ones. My friend that I was telling you about earlier, her name is Beth, that had the traumatic brain injury. She asked him what his favorite color was. She didn't know any better. "What's your favorite color?" He's like, "Today I'm enjoying yellow." And she was like, "That's cool, I like yellow." You know, I'm not human, but he's real. He's not some up there God who's waiting for you to make a mistake so he can throw his lightning bolt at you and make sure you correct yourself to go back to normal so he can love you again.
Right.
And we need to get out of that mindset.
Right.
He is present, ever wanting to interact with you. And he can interact on every moment of every day if you let him. My dad used to always say, it's not that you can't hear God or God isn't speaking. God never shuts up. And that's true. That's not a bad thing. He's not like us where we just have, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's like vomit. Please make it stop." He actually has things that are worth saying. And he's saying them all the time. And he's just asking for us to open our ears and listen. And not just listen, but follow through. Because what he said isn't some empty nonsense. It has action and reaction and response. And there are some times where I have literally I've been even in church. I was in a church building, and I was having a moment with God that this is one of the most embarrassing things that's probably ever happened to me. I was in the church, in the fellowship hall, had some music going, and I was praying, and God said something I didn't like. And I just told him I didn't like it. And I said it out loud, and I was screaming, I don't like that. I can't believe you. And we had this moment. And as I was having the moment, the pastor walked into the room. Why can't I have this moment alone? But that's a real moment. And you know what? God's not afraid of that moment. The pastor was for a second. And then I was once he realized what was happening, he was like, okay, it's just Jody, and she's having a moment with God. And but you know what? Because I'm willing to have that moment, I can have the Todd moment. God's looking for real. And if you're in a position right now where you're just wanting the Todd moment, that's okay too. For a while, God will honor that. It's all about your heart. He's not saying, I'm sorry because you don't have those ugly moments with me. But he wants you to be real. And you may be a person that just never gets ugly with God. I envy you. I get ugly with God sometimes where I'm just like, okay. Then I get on my knees and I'm like, okay, instead of intercession, I'm going to repent. And sometimes it's just a wrestling with God, and we had a discussion, and it was like, you know, two Italian lovers in love that were just having it out, and we both won in the end, you know? And he just loves me through it. Okay? Does that make sense? So, one of my most favorite thing of all that... How am I doing on time? Okay. One of my most favorite things that Chris has done since I've been here was one Sunday he put out little cards. Do you remember he put out the little note cards? And he had us write down. He had you go to somebody and write down what he just felt the Holy Spirit was telling you to do. And I was like, that is the coolest thing. Because it really is all it is. It's trusting your gut. Daughtry came up to me and he had prayer and music or prayer and singing or something on it. And I was like, that's totally me. If you didn't see it, then if God told you, you know, whatever. It's all part of the big picture, but that was so empowering to me. There's probably people in this room that missed it. That's okay. It's practice in the interactive that matters. God isn't upset if you mess up. He's bigger than that. Much bigger than that. And I will just tell you, it's very, very... very few times is there a mess up if you just listen. It's not a consistent thing. There have been times where I have gotten Jody involved, and I had to step back and say, oh, I just said a whole bunch of nonsense. And I said it because I was using my earthly thoughts, and I was reacting to whatever was happening, and I wasn't pausing and saying, God, what do you want to do in this situation? And that can be involved in prayer, like if somebody comes up to you, like I said earlier, and says they want to pray for your back. But I want to encourage you, this also works with prophecy. I don't have the job of prophetic. I don't envy that. I don't predict the future or talk about worldly events or anything like that. But if you're ever in my presence, beware. I probably am hearing God on your behalf. It's just innate in me. It's who I am. But it's only innate in me because I stop and pause, and that's common to me to do that. So now even when I'm not stopping and pausing, God's in my head running around, you know, sometimes like a circus act, and I'm like, okay, I'm listening now, you know? It's real. And I'm able to do that. And so are you. Amen. It's not any harder to prophesy over somebody than it is to pray over them. All you are is pausing your mind and saying, God, what do you want to do in this prophetic moment? And I'm just going to repeat what's running across my brain. And I'm not in vain taking your name. That's right. So I'm just going to burst out whatever's running across my head and willing to risk it. Yeah. I'm willing. In this room is a good place to practice. You know why I say that? Because I don't know anybody in this room that won't forgive you in the end. Amen. Start here. Practice. If you mess up, you might have a little conversation where you're like, hey, well, maybe you should think about this. And then that's God interacting with you because you are God, man, and us. You were meant to interact with your neighbor like that. Okay? You guys good with what we talked about today? Does it make sense? This doesn't seem like the impossible anymore. And forgive me if I offended anybody by saying, but the vain stuff. Because it really does get me fired up. But remember, I'm not fired up at you. I'm just fired up at the enemy. When people come to me and they'll say, oh, well, this is, you know, people have told me my whole life this, so that must be true. But it's anti what I know God says. It just makes me want to say curse words. Because I'm so mad at the enemy that he's allowed you to believe that. And that you're living life at this when God wants to live your life out here. And it's possible if you just quit believing it. Yeah. That's all it takes is for you to let go of it. Sin, I heard this week and it just, I was like, oh, that's a good way to look at it. Sin is not you trying to be fixed. Sin is just you stopping what you don't need in your life. Think about that. You don't, it's not God needing to dig inside your heart and to reroot you and reconstruct you and change you. When you accepted Christ, what did we say? You're whole, body, soul, and spirit, complete, nothing's lacking. Sin is just a habit that you've been doing since your birth that you're in the habit of doing, and you need to break the habit. It's not something that needs to condemn you. It's not something that needs to hold you back. It's not something you need to hold somebody else back for. Whew. Hey, did you hear me? It's not something you need to hold somebody else back for. I know in my life, I've had relationships where I was like, well, I'm sorry, because you're in that sin. I can't hold you. I have to hold you out here. Ooh. No, I need to relate with you. That doesn't mean I need you to harm me. It doesn't mean I need to be in the atmosphere where I'm picking up your habits. There are boundaries, but it does not mean I cut you off. That's not allowed. God didn't cut me off, and I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to, will you guys forgive me for changing the song? Can we go back to Prophesy Your Promise? When I heard this song last week, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my sermon. It really is. Because everything in life is seen but a glimpse. And if we're not careful, we're looking at a picture thinking we're seeing it clearly, when really we have a, what is it, a not a telescope, a squinty, where you pull it out and you look? Huh? Okay. Periscope. Yeah. We're instead of looking at the little end and you're getting the bigger end, you really have the big end up here and you're looking out the little end. And you don't even know it. So be careful, because we only see in part. But that little part that you see, I hope you shout it from the rooftops. I hope you shout it from the rooftops and that you believe it with every fiber of your being and you walk it out. If whoever's doing communion, I don't know who you have, Chris, if you guys can start passing that out, I want to share a little story with you as they start to play. Then we'll do communion together. In the late 1800s, there was, let me make sure I get his name right. I'm so bad with names. There was a journalist, and his name is Henry Morton Stanley. From here out, I'm just going to call him Stanley. Some of you may know the story. And Stanley was a journalist, and he left to go on a great adventure to find an explorer that was in Africa. So the explorer, his name is David Livingstone. And David Livingstone was in Africa trying to find the end of the Nile. That was his exploration that he was on. And he thought that in 2 years he would find the end of it. So this is before, you know, jeeps and all that stuff. So he's like in a caravan of people traveling out in the bush in Africa looking for the end of the Nile. And as he's looking for it, he thinks it's only going to take him 2 years. But after 6 years, nobody's heard from him. So everybody, all of his friends and everything, have presumed that he's dead. And Livingston is like, no, he's not dead. Or Stanley, sorry, says he's not dead, and I'm going to go and find him. So Stanley leaves and sets out on this journey to find Livingstone. And as he's traveling to find him, he has a huge caravan of people and supplies and all the food and different things that he's going to need in order to make this journey successful. But the villagers keep pillaging it. And they pillage it back and forth. And every day he's losing more and more supplies and more things than he needs in order to, he's like, this has got to stop. How do I make it stop? He gets a certain portion into his journey, and one of the tribe leaders comes up to him and meets him and says, hey, we can help you. We'll help protect you. And he's like, okay, so what we'll do is we'll make a covenant with you. And what we'll do is we'll take two young men, we'll cut them at their wrists, mix their bloods, and make this ritual covenant together. And then out of it, I will ask a gift from you, and you will ask a gift of me. And then we will take these gifts, and then we'll be in covenant together, and then my tribe will always be protected, or will always be protected by you, and your tribe will always be protected by me. So I thought about it for a minute. He's like, okay, I can't, you know, what have I got to lose? I'm losing stuff every day, and we're not going to make this journey if I lose anymore. And so he says, okay. So he says, what is the gift that you want? Tribe leader says, I want your goat. He is like, he didn't want to give up the goat because he had a stomach ailment, and the only thing that soothed it was the goat's milk. But he was like, okay, I'll give up my goat. He's like, I have to have these supplies in order for my men to get home in the end. So whatever we need to do, you can have the goat. He goes, what do you want? So the tribe leader this whole time had been standing with a staff in his hand, and he's holding that staff, and he says, can I get a communion real quick? And he's holding the staff, and he goes, okay, I'll take the stick. I mean, and that's how he looks at it. He is like, you give me the stick, thank you. That's perfect. And I'll give you my goat, whatever. It'll help us in the end. So he goes on his way, and a couple days later, he runs into more villagers who are trying to pillage him. And as he steps out of his tent, he puts down the staff, and everybody that's pillaging immediately bows to him and just looks at him. And he's like, what just happened? What he didn't know was he was talking to the tribe leader of all tribe leaders, and that staff was his word. And that anywhere he went with that staff, he had the authority of the tribe leader. Forever and ever and ever. Anywhere he went with that staff in Africa, all African people would bow down to him and do whatever he asked them to do from that point forward. He was able to find his friend, and his friend decided not to go home, and then he died, and a whole bunch of other stories to this. But I want you to think about this. When you accepted Christ and you accepted this as a reality, this is his staff, and he handed it to you. And at any moment you show the shed blood of Jesus, it is his word. It has power. It's meaningful. And every moment of every day, every situation that you're a part of is forever changed. Forever. Even if you took it thinking it was just a stick. Not just a stick. It's a staff, and it's covenant forever with Jesus. And even if you've walked a million steps away, it only takes one step in the other direction to be right back where he needs you. And if you're not able to step, I bet if you called out, he'd come to you. He doesn't need you to make any steps. And I want us to remember that when we take this. When I heard that story, I was just like, oh, that's a cool story about covenant or whatever. But the other couple weeks I was in here by myself praying. And as I was praying, I felt like God said, go in the back and get communion and take it with me. And I did. And as soon as I pulled it out of its little case back there, I heard God say, this is the Stanley Livingston story. And I was like, whew, that's powerful. I made covenant with God, which gives me ultimate power, not to abuse or to rule over somebody, but to rule over the powers of this air, of the earth, that thought they had control because at one point I gave it to them. But now I have it back. Because I have it back, you have power. Because you got it back, I have power. Because we, in communion together, in community, are interceding for one another, building each other up, speaking life into each other. That's what prophecy is, and that's what the prophetic is. It's just building up the body of believers. You will stand with me. Lord, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. That it is the agreement that bought back my power. And I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you are confident in us to be rulers, to rule in life. Lord, to abide in you, to thrive, and to multiply. Lord, may we take this cup in remembrance of you and remember not in vain to take the name of Jesus and then lose all of its power. You would take the cup. Lord, I thank you for the body that was broken so that I can be whole. That's a powerful thing. I'm whole, which means I can be honest about who I am. I don't have to put up fronts or Instagram smiles or anything. I can be real. Because I am real. I'm whole, complete in you. And I thank you for that. You guys would sing this song with me. It's very powerful. God found you in the middle of your mess. And you know what he did in that mess? He made you complete. I want to encourage each and every one of you when you leave this room. The Bible says in, I think it's in Thessalonians, that maybe it's Philippians, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean on my hands and knees in a dark room, quiet, all by myself. We wouldn't get anything done, and God knows that. But when you're completely engaged with the Trinity, every moment is a talking point.
Yes.
That may be walking in Starbucks and God saying, pay for the drink in front of you, and you don't know why. But the lady in front of you really shouldn't be in Starbucks buying that drink. She's doing it because she's in a moment that she needs that to feel better. And God's saying, help her out. Amen. I want to buy that drink for her.
Amen.
I'm going to do it on your behalf.
Yes.
And you get to participate.
Amen.
So as you leave today, go with that mindset. Also, if you're here today and you need to wrestle through something and you need somebody to intercede on your behalf, I'm here. I know Pastor Chris is here. Jeremy and Candace are here. If you need that, don't be afraid to come up and say, I'm in that point where I'm wrestling. God wrestled with lots of people in the Bible. You can read about them. He wrestled with one guy so much he broke his leg. So go figure. Hopefully we don't have to do that today because I kind of like my leg. I don't want to limp. But if I need to limp so that you're whole, I'm okay. Let's do it. All right? You have anything you want to say, Chris? All right. Have a wonderful week. Love you guys.